Welcome to this Thursday evening meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. This evening's message is by Paul Abel.
So, yeah, this is a great chapter. This is Jeremiah really bringing correction to the people of God. You have to guess. There's not that many chapters in Jeremiah.
52.
Those of you in the spirit will discern. This is a letter. Jeremiah is writing to the guys, the Jews, the Israelis, who have been exiled to Babylon by God. Because he's in control of it all. And there's a whole bunch of prophets that are saying we need to get back to Israel. God is calling us to Israel. And Jeremiah all along has been saying, when we get exiled, that is not going to happen. We're going to be stuck in Babylon for a period of time until God brings us back. And so that one of the fascinating things with this letter, I think, is even if your destination is Israel, if God's called you to Babylon, Babylon is where you're supposed to be. And of course, Babylon is considered like the center of worldliness and power and riches and everything else. So you would think anybody, especially any Jewish person who was in Babylon with a prophet saying, let's get back to Israel, it must have been, yeah, come on, we need to get back. And then comes along Jeremiah and says, that's not what God says. And I think that's why it's so important that we hear God. And it's important for us as well, because we're living in the sense of being in Babylon and in Zion at the same time, because we're in the spirit. In Scarborough is Babylon. It's not in that sense Israel, because our Israel is heaven anyway. So we're in exile in a way on the planet, but because we're also sat in heavenly places in our position in Christ, we actually end up living in Israel and Babylon at the same time. But you see the importance of being where God wants you to be through what Jeremiah says. Because the people need to spend this time in Babylon because they need to be taught by God something important, so that when they get back and prophets like Haggai and Zechariah start saying, come on, now's the time to rebuild the temple, they'll all be ready to work for it. And in fact, it's going to take a while because... it starts off, this is the text of a letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders. Sorry? It is 29, yes. He's in the spirit, you see. He walked out in the fence, forgave, come back, got in the spirit. Forgiveness is that quick. He wasn't offended, in case anybody's worried. So anyway, the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders amongst the exiles, the priests, the prophets, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar, who's the king of Babylon, had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Okay? Let's skip through some of those names to what he actually said. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. So God's got a very definite place for them to be. I think, looking out around this room, every person sitting here in this room right now, we're called to Scarborough. Right? That's where God has called us to. We don't know how long for. I always think you should go somewhere and you just go somewhere until God says move on. You know, in my head, there's kind of a 40-year plan. All right, and if God changes it, God changes it. But that's, you've got a plan wherever you go, even if you go into missionary work abroad, you've got to go with the intention of this is for a generation. Because even if you're not there for a generation, the idea will be to raise up people to carry on a generation. I can see that what we're going to do is be praying for Scarborough tonight, but we're going to be praying for, I think we're going to be praying for the election in that sense as well from this passage. But anyway, what he says to these people who are in Babylon: build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. So God's plan is, even in the midst of Babylon, even in the midst of the world, even in the midst of what really the Israelis, the Jews, would consider the worst of these great idols of gods, completely foreign, completely against God's pattern, God says, this is a place for you to increase.
Amen, amen.
Right? You can never say, oh, it's a tough place. You get that sometimes. You go to some places, you don't get it so much now because the church is rising up, but you go to a place and the people there would say, yeah, well, we're doing all right because this is a really hard place. Oh, witchcraft is tough in this area. It's absolute rubbish. This is Babylon. This is the center of everything that's anti-God. And God is still saying, and there, increase in numbers, do not decrease. God's plan is always for growth. God's plan is always for increase. God's plan is always for fruitfulness. God's plan is always for multiplication. He wants us to multiply so that the life of Christ, the light that's in us, shines into Babylon. Okay? We have a big advantage over these guys because we've actually got Israel, if you like, Zion, heaven in us, because we're sat in heaven with Christ. Christ is, in that sense, the kingdom of God is within us, shining out. So that's a pretty big advantage from our point of view. But increase in number there and do not decrease. And another really key factor, which is also why we should never go around saying, this is a bad place, this is a dumb place, they make the wrong decisions. Every time you do that, you're speaking curse over the very place you live. And God's word to us is to do this. I'll also seek the peace and prosperity of the city, or the place you're living, to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Sometimes people question me and say, well, why do we pray for Scarborough? We don't want them to prosper or they won't turn to God. We pray for Scarborough to prosper because the Bible tells us to, because we are people that release his blessing. All right? For too long the church thinks that we're going to win everyone by piling guilt upon them. Jesus never called anyone a sinner. How often did sermons call the people in front of them, they're a bunch of sinners? Sometimes people called themselves sinners. Sometimes he said, go and sin no more. But he never confronted a person by saying, you are a sinner. Even Zacchaeus, the oppressor that I was talking about the other day, that was up the tree, Jesus doesn't say, you're a sinner. He, in fact, instead of condemning him, instead of judging him, instead of bringing a word of rebuke, he honors him. And if you look at the way he treats sinners, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, his usual way of treating sinners is to honour them. He generally gives an impression that he thinks they're terrific and that they're good people. I mean, I think that's a bit of a concept change sometimes. We're so good at thinking that absolutely everything is depraved and horrible. But actually, God's creation is good. It's corrupted by sin, but sin is unbelief. Sin is not believing God. When you repent, you turn from believing your own interpretation of things and say, I'm going to trust God, I'm going to believe what he says. That's repentance. So that's why we pray for the prosperity of the town. We don't have to have a war or poverty or destruction to see masses of people saved. Sometimes people say, oh, we need to bring on that stuff, then we'll see lots of people. You don't have to. All right, the gospel is good news. It's not to say that kind of thing doesn't happen, but we don't have to have it happen. We don't have to wish for the bad stuff to happen because then people will turn to the Lord. How about we just did what Jesus did and show them the good news? That there's a God who loves them. God didn't send Jesus for the angels. He didn't send them to make a statement. He didn't send Jesus to have a great time boogieing in parties down on the earth. He sent him to die for humans. That's how much God values unsaved humans. Because by definition, before Jesus came, they were not saved. They were sinners, and yet he still came. He didn't say, well, when they're sorted out, we'll send someone down. He loves the despicable. So we pray for everything and everyone and prosperity. Because the responsibility to turn people from sin to Saviour is actually the Holy Spirit who brings conviction. Our responsibility is to be the witness. Our responsibility is to shine the light and let people see this is good. You know, why have Kate and Rob and Alex been painting? Because it's important that this building, to the best we can possibly do, reflects the glory of God. And this building is not for the Christians. And what it is, we get to use it, that's a bonus. But really, we want a building that gets people saved. It's a tool given to us to reach out to Scarborough. So when people come in, we want them to be impressed. Because to be impressed is to say this is excellent, is it not?
Yeah.
So this building, or whatever building we have, or whatever way we do it, we want people, the unsaved really, to be impressed. Because if they're impressed, they're more likely to listen. Now, you think about all the bad side of pop culture, but all the good side. Who do people listen to? The people they're impressed by. Yeah? I saw Terry Wogan the other night. She was so impressed. But how many people, if Terry Wogan walked into here tonight, would listen to what he had to say? And generally they will listen to what he has to say because people are impressed by things he's done, like BBC Children in Need and presented programmes, and he was good on the radio and all that kind of stuff. It doesn't really matter what you personally think of Terry Wogan, Sir Terry Wogan, but, you know, he is somebody who has impressed, so people will listen.
Yeah, that's good.
And that goes, Sir Bradley Wiggins is commentating on the Tour de Yorkshire right now and giving his views. And so people are listening because they're impressed by him.
Yeah.
They've seen a man who's laid down his life, is dedicated to what he's doing, he's given his life meaning and purpose. And so people are impressed by that. And there will always be people who will just hate what we do because we're Christians. But actually, most people don't. Most people will look and listen to those they're impressed by. And that's why we try and do everything to the best standard we possibly can, using the resources that God has given us to the utmost. We must never have even if we haven't got money in the account, we must never have a poverty mindset. We must never get to the stage of, you know, we're sensible, we obviously go with what we've got, but you can get into that mindset of we need to do this cheaply to save money.
Come on.
And you cannot do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because as soon as you do that, you will lose the mission of what we have. We live, like it or not, in a very materialistic Babylon. And so we mustn't be sucked into that, but we still need to get people's ears. And we get people's ears by impressing them. People listened to Jesus because they were impressed by his stories.
Amen.
He didn't really preach that often. He told stories, according to the Gospels. And people loved the stories. His entertainment, really? Jesus entertained? Yes, he did, effectively, if you read it. And all the people were pouring out because they wanted to listen. And they weren't all just coming like this, in a holy cloud, to listen to the holy man. They came because he was interested, and they were impressed by this rabbi, even though he was a Galilean. They were impressed by him, and they wanted to listen. Really, the only ones Jesus ever criticizes, and he does criticize them well, are the religious that are corrupting the very message that he's bringing. And he doesn't stop today. He still does that with the church, where the church starts to live the opposite way. He's not impressed, that's for sure. So when we pray tonight, during the worship, or however God leaves, I sense that it would be good, given that the election is round the corner, whether we pray in groups or individually, that we really pray for this town to elect councillors and the MP that will move this town forward into the things of God and into prosperity. That's what we really need. We need a great council. It's no good complaining about the council. We need to pray into place good counselors. You might say, I don't know if any are standing. Well, we need to pray in the best ones. And we need to keep praying until men... It's difficult to get good counselors because everybody speaks so badly of them. Who wants to be one? If we honored the position of counselor and talked well of them, people that could do it and do it well, I'm not saying there aren't any doing it well already, would want to be councillors. You know? So we need to pray for the right people to be elected in the council elections and in the national elections. And that is in that way we are praying for the prosperity. Prosperity is another word, success. We want Scarborough to be successful. Let's pray that the Tour de Yorkshire finish tomorrow afternoon is successful. You know, BBC Look North are broadcasting live, I think, from about 4 o'clock in the afternoon from Scarborough. Let's pray it's successful. People see it and think, wow, that's a nice town. That's a great place. We need good decisions. Scarborough does need a cinema. It does need a cinema. We need councillors that make good decisions. I don't particularly know whether North Bay or North Street is the best place for it. I think North Bay, but I don't really know all the ins and outs. But we need to pray that right decisions are made and not decisions made due to pressure or political ideals rather than the prosperity, the success, the well-being of the town. Amen? I sound like a politician. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Don't let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Don't listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. So important. They're saying, let's get back to Israel. If God's not saying go to Israel, don't go to Israel. Whether that's for a holiday or permanently. But you get the point. And actually, if we all we decided tonight, let's make a committee decision to go into holy retreat at Hackness, and there we will have such amazing prayer meetings, the nation will change, we would have stepped out of God's plan. Because we are called to be in Babylon, we are called to be in Scarborough, we are called to be a witness. And if someone comes and says, let's run away and enjoy the presence of the Lord, it sounds good. And it's so hard to contradict someone when they say, this is what God has told me. When actually often they mean, this is what I want to do. We need to be very wary of saying, God has told me, really. You know, because it takes away the ability for somebody else to say to you, are you sure? And actually, we need that. We need that because we won't always get it right. Who wants to wander off to Israel when you should be in Babylon? Because notice, Babylon is a place of blessing. Increase in numbers. You will be at peace. You will prosper. Pray for the prosper of the city I put you in, because you too will prosper. It's not that they're in a bad place. Which is interesting, because if you look at the next bit, the Lord says, this is the actual message I'm sending through my prophets. When 70 years are completed, so they're going to be there for 70 years, which is why they're going to have children and grandchildren. I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. And then comes one of the most famous verses in the Bible. For I know plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find you when you seek me with all your heart. I mean, that's a great, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And sometimes I've heard preachers say, oh, Christians take that out of context. He's just telling the Israeli people, it's a certain situation, it's about a restoration of something that they've not had, it's getting back to where, you know, after the 70 years period, how can it be a promise for all time? What's he promising them in Israel when they go back? Peace and prosperity, a hope and a future. What's he promised them while they're in Babylon? Peace and prosperity, a hope and a future, because you're going to go back to Israel. It hasn't changed. So that's why it's a promise for people to take hold of for all time. And as we pray tonight, we're praying for peace and prosperity and a hope and a future for Scarborough. I keep going to a region and the Lord keeps saying to me, Scarborough. Whether it's a borough or not, I do not know it. But for Scarborough, we need to pay peace and prosperity, hope and a future. Because that's what we're called to do. It's not that we're just going to have a blessing meeting tonight. That's part of our fundamental calling, is to pray for where we are living, where God has placed us. Even if it's for a short season, or even if it's for 40 years, we pray for the prosperity of where we are. And we have a vision for what God is going to do here through all of us. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.